Welcome to the Shaping Portsmouth podcast. Shaping Portsmouth is a collaboration of key Portsmouth businesses, transforming Portsmouth together.
Hello and welcome to today's edition of the Shaping Portsmouth podcast. I'm here with the wonderful Hannah Murray.
Hello.
Welcome, Hannah.
This is very different for me.
You're on the other side. How does that feel?
It's nice for a change.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
No, it's an absolute joy to have you here. I really wanted to chat to you. We wanted to learn a bit more. You've had some big changes to your business lately, which we're really excited to talk to you about. But before we get into that, and for people that don't know who you are, can you tell us a bit about your journey and what led you into the world of well-being?
Oh, where do I start?
Big question, right?
I know. There's a lot to it, so I'll give you a short synopsis. So mental health is kind of deep-rooted for me. My whole career over the last 16-odd years has been driven by lived experience. And that's because when I was in my late teens and early 20s, I really struggled with my own mental health.
Okay.
I entered a really dark and sad place to be, and unfortunately attempted to no longer be here. And I learned a lot through that time of my life.
Yeah.
About who I was as an individual. I really struggled with my identity. I really struggled academically because of chronic bullying in school, and that real feeling of kind of loss of belonging and not really understanding. I hate the phrase fit where I fit in, but
yeah,
that sense of just not really feeling a part of anything.
It's a big deal when you're younger.
Yeah, when you're younger.
In those formative years, the world can feel so cruel, doesn't it? And if you don't understand yourself and you don't belong to yourself,
yeah,
almost, then how can you feel like you can fit?
And I think because of my struggle with navigating that and being really distracted academically, I really even didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. I didn't know what I wanted to do career aspiration wise, educationally, kind of in further education. But unfortunately, when I was in a dark and depressive place, I ended up having to access secure therapy.
Okay.
And wanting to gain some support to understand what was going on for me. And within that, I learned a lot. And ultimately, because of all of that support, I have now spent the last 16 years giving back and being that individual to support others, because I do not want anyone to feel the way that I did. And I want to become the role model that I never had.
Yeah, sure. And you've worked for the NHS, haven't you, in that time?
Yeah.
And in that role, dedicated yourself really just to helping people with their own mental health. And it's interesting, one of the questions that I wanted to ask you was, you know, what was the moment that made you or inspired you to want to kind of give back in that way? But like you just said, your own kind of darkness and your own experience.
Yeah, and I think it was the space that I was given to freely explore and understand who I was. And you think that sounds quite trivial in the context, but unless you are given that safe space to do that, and sometimes for people the home environment isn't that,
yeah,
that you really can get vulnerable with yourself and really be honest about who you want to become and who you are right now, and accepting mistakes and accepting downfalls and striving to become better, and what that looks like in terms of learning and gaining education around whatever topics it is that you love, that you get to create yourself again. And I think the light bulb moment was one of my therapists, or they're called mentors, was who sat down and said, so who do you want to be? And what does that look like for you?
Big question.
And I probably still ask myself that on occasion now, but when you think back as to that younger version of me, and I think my poor mental health started when I was about 13. So I always reference 13-year-old Hannah, which is where it really started to go wrong for me. And even now in the changes that I'm making and who I'm becoming now and evolving into, I always reference 13-year-old Hannah. Like, what would she think, and how would she feel about what you're doing?
And, yeah, and what would she think and feel about what you're doing now and who you are?
I genuinely think she'd be incredibly proud. But if you told 13-year-old Hannah that you would be where you are today, she would never have believed
No.
you. And the journey has been quite inspiring with people that I've connected with and the work that I've done and the people I've been able to help, which I find such a privilege, because they're their most vulnerable, most challenged and most scared self. but you get to see the change and the transformation completely blossom. And that's a privilege to be able to support and watch. But at the same time, reaffirming as someone with lived experience, I know exactly what that feels like.
Yeah. And I think when I think anyone that can turn the kind of darkest moments in their lives into some light for others are really special people. So yeah. you should be really proud. All versions of Hannah should be really proud
Thank
of
you.
Like where you've
that.
Got to today. I think there's such power in that, really. Mm. And I know that recently you've had some big changes to your business. So I connected with you quite a few years back, and you were the Beautiful Mind coach.
Yeah.
And now you've kind of birthed this new business. So tell us a little bit about what's been going on for you.
Yeah, so Beautiful Minds was born from a place of being a professional and having worked through COVID and coming out the back of COVID and things really not aligning with who I was professionally. I stayed within the NHS part-time because that's my profession.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of wealth in doing that with a large organisation like the NHS. But I started to want to move in a different direction, to have an impact wider and make a difference. And off the back of COVID, obviously, the restrictions stopped people having face-to-face therapy. So I built a platform that allowed me to offer that counselling and therapy type coaching intervention mm-hmm. online. And it just grew somewhere where I never expected it to go. Embarked probably 18 months ago on the corporate world, and we have started to see a real landscape change in mm-hmm. how workplace wellbeing or workforce wellbeing is being managed and navigated in the corporate environment. And sometimes I don't really like the word corporate because it sounds too big and hefty.
Yeah.
But like the organisational business space.
Because you work with businesses of all sizes.
Yeah. From kind of 5 members of staff to 5,000 members of mm-hmm. staff. But this natural landscape change in people's focus and prioritising well-being for their people, I think businesses are realising that businesses are only as successful as the people working in them.
Yeah.
And an investment in their well-being and mental health is vital mm-hmm. right now, more than ever.
Yeah, sure. The world is a hard place to be, isn't it? It feels
just
like
as humans,
it gets harder.
Let alone
yeah.
in business.
Yeah.
And everyone's navigating such different things outside of the workplace that actually there is now government guidance that workplaces or organisations have to be doing a certain level of support for wellbeing and mental health to support individuals thrive both at home and in work. So I didn't fall out of love with being the Beautiful Mind coach. Mm-hmm. I am just going to state that. But mm-hmm. I was evolving as a professional.
Yeah.
The arenas that I was working with were growing. Mm-hmm. The requests were growing. And so I felt like it was the right time to evolve and level up. So Seed Wellbeing UK was born, which is now a registered trademark.
Amazing.
And I have the beauty of having 5 other experts working alongside me. And this came out of a kind of collaborative coffee date with one of the
okay.
other experts, where we were realizing that we were passing each other work.
Yeah.
Because one has the expertise in one area and the other doesn't. Mm-hmm. But then we started to realise, okay, so how many other professionals were doing this within the wellbeing space? And so we tapped into our network and were having conversations with people that we'd either done bits of work with before or who'd been following and been inspired by. And we just started having conversation. And it led to my birth child, as they all like to call it.
Yeah.
And that is Seed Wellbeing UK. So we have trademarked a framework and a program that enables workplaces of any size to be able to have a one-stop shop mental health and wellbeing support program built into their business for their people.
Wow.
And it's really amazing to be
yes.
able to offer that, having worked in organizations where forever seeing tick box exercises, initiatives that just don't work, only ever celebrating Mental Health Awareness Day,
yeah,
and not really looking at the bigger picture,
all the other days in between.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And all of the other challenges people are having. We're not just talking about mental health, and we're not just talking about suicide prevention. We offer nutritional health, hormone health, financial well-being training, leadership coaching on how to support people with their well-being and mental health. It allows us to go out and do so much more as professionals. And as professionals, we always say we are only one person. We have our expertise, but the well-being is such a multitude of pieces of a puzzle that you have to incorporate and collaborate with all of the other industries that partake in what well-being is.
Yeah, because each person is an individual and has their own challenges or their own areas that they need to focus on. So how wonderful that businesses can come to you and you can almost tailor something to what they need within their employees.
Yeah, 100%. The framework is totally adaptable. The foundation is built and trademarked, but that is bespokely looked at per industry. There are going to be things that tradies need that other entities don't need, and there's going to be kind of HR pieces that other people don't need. So it's, the framework is adaptable, and we go in and we talk to the organization and we look at what they've currently got in place and completely do a review of well-being and then recommend, okay, we can put XYZ in place.
Sure. And it's called Seed Wellbeing, which I think is such a great name, but what does that mean to you? What does that concept represent for you, this idea of a seed?
It's definitely based on growth. Mm-hmm. It came out of a time where I wanted to evolve as a professional, but that actually the landscape of well-being is evolving as well. It actually came out of a conversation over coffee with my wife.
Okay.
And ended up kind of asking ChatGPT, like, what can we use as words that represent growth? And it came out with acorn and conquer and all of these kind of blossomy things. And I was like, those words just aren't quite right. And then all of a sudden...
Well, you can plant a seed anytime, can't you? That's the thing.
And seeds are forever growing. You look at daffodils, they die off and then they regrow again in time. And I think the word seed, so it actually incorporates our values. So our organisational values are support, education, encouragement and development.
Nice.
And so everything that we've built has been built around those values. So within that, a seed grows through those four stages. And represents me in one sense, but the brand is no longer about me. And I guess it's the journey of us six moving forward together and growing into an organisation that is collaboratively built to go out and allow other people the opportunity to grow as well.
Sure. And I guess, you know, it from what I gather and looking at your brilliant website, what's the link to your website, Hannah?
It is www.seed-wellbeing.com.
Excellent. I had a quick look earlier and I can really get a sense that it's looking at well-being embedded into the culture of an organisation and into the leadership. Why is that shift so important to organisations?
Well-being massively starts with leadership, and something that we found along the evidence of pieces of work that we've done over the last 18 months, both me independently and the other experts, is that this kind of top-down, bottom-up example in organisations is true. Mm-hmm. And actually, we've really struggled at times to work with organisations where leadership don't value well-being.
Yeah.
And there is an element where if you haven't had life experience and you've never been challenged in that way, then maybe you don't understand it. But actually, it's all about the culture. It's all about how it's led within a business and its value and purpose put in place. We talk about on the website in some of the captions, it talked about transforming workplaces from stress to thriving.
Okay.
Everyone deserves to go to work and perform and be their best and be accepted authentically for who they are as a person. And they get to go and do that at home too. But actually, if the culture within the environment that they're working in isn't supportive of that, then they've not got a chance to grow. And we want to affirm to organisations that there is a chance of changing that culture, but you have to invest in your people and you have to want to make a change. And that comes from leadership.
And what do you think like a genuinely healthy workplace culture looks like?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Every organisation is going to have its down days, regardless, it's life.
Well, and we're human.
Yes. So, human first is one of our core pillars.
Okay.
Human first. But it's about how you deal with certain situations in the workplace, how you deal with conflict, how you resolve them, the communication and the language that is used. And I guess a period of it is based on expectation, is if leadership accept one type of behaviour from somebody, then mm-hmm. that's only going to cascade down in dominoes
yeah.
into other people acting or performing in the same way. But ultimately, your business should be thriving in performance as well as well-being. And you can only get the best out of people if their well-being and mental health is being supported in the workplace. So I guess if you want your business to be successful, yeah. it's only as successful as the people working in it.
Sure. And their well-being and being at work.
Everything.
And yeah, like you said, it's, I mean, I know from my own past experiences, it can be so hard to work in environments where you feel like you just have to push down your problems, you have to put a mask on,
yeah.
you show up in, I worked in an office environment for a long time, and it's so draining to wear that mask, and it's almost like you're just going through the motions almost, because perhaps you don't feel like you can be really honest.
Yeah.
There isn't that support there. I think asking for help is probably one of the hardest things, especially if you are going through a difficult time. So creating that lovely safe space where people feel like they can have these honest conversations, and actually the person that's having them is equipped to be able to deal with them,
part of it,
or point someone in the right direction so that they can get the support they need.
I think a lot of organisations fear well-being now and about getting, because they don't want to get it wrong.
Yeah.
And it is easily done. But actually, if you really want to get it right, then this whole programme and us as experts, we're here to help. We talk about having healthier, high-performing leaders in workplaces where everyone feels okay to thrive with whatever they're dealing with. And sometimes it's about the workplace might only be the place that someone has that's safe.
Yes.
And if they can say that to you in the workplace, then your job is done, because they might not have anywhere else or anyone else to share those troubles with. But the culture of what you're building enables people to feel safe to do that. And making sure that you've got all your ducks in a row, and that policies are in the right place, and that MHFA training is in the right place.
Yeah.
And everyone's got awareness of how to support each other as colleagues, let alone leadership, supporting management, supporting people. It is a flow diagram, I like to call it. There's so many cogs to it. But if you are an organisation who's really striving to get it right, there are ways of doing it that don't cost the earth.
Yeah, of course. And also, it isn't just about maybe when there's a crisis or maybe when there's a trauma. And don't get me wrong, people need support when they're going through those times. But if you are working somewhere and well-being is in a good place, it's like, right, well, how do we keep well-being in a good place? You know, how do we make sure we've got the right kind of policies in place or the right people to lean on? Because I think it's really important to like celebrate when things are going well and understand that I guess a big part of mental well-being is also just keeping it in a really good place.
Yeah, 100%. And prevention is better than cure.
Yeah, exactly.
You shouldn't have to turn to well-being in a crisis.
Sure.
It should be embedded in what you're trying to create from a business perspective, so that there are less and less of those moments where we're reactive or responsive to a crisis.
Yeah.
And if you want to have the support embedded, is about understanding what's working well right now and where your gaps are, and trying to implement something that is, I guess, connected to your employees, connected to your industry and the way that you work, but employee led. Like, what do they need?
Yeah.
What do they want? Do you have that evidence? Have you ever asked
asked the question? Yeah.
One question we always ask businesses is, how can well-being support our organisation?
Mm-hmm.
Not how do we support employees with their well-being?
Yes.
It's
okay.
Different. It's different.
And I think it's good to point that out. And just that reflection on how do you keep well-being in a good place is like, in case there's any fear from businesses, because if they sign up, is it them thinking like, okay, well, we have a problem because we need to get help? It's just trying to break down that kind of barrier of thinking, like, it doesn't mean to say things aren't working out in your organisation if you were to work with Seed. But just being open to kind of like exploring how things are.
I've never met an organisation yet who hasn't got good intention.
Yeah.
It's that fear stepping over the barrier and knowing that you're going to go on this journey. It takes time.
Yeah,
of course.
You're
not going to change it overnight.
Yeah.
But if you've got intention and you've got a want to change it or improve it, let's say, then it's there to be done. You've just got to get over that hurdle of fearing it. the Health and Safety Executive launched their or published their document from their survey of 2025.
Okay.
And in 2025, it was reported that 74% of business owners or CEOs hit burnout.
Wow.
And 47% of those businesses lost their senior leadership team to poor mental health.
Wow.
And that for me is an outrageous percentage.
It speaks volumes, doesn't
it? It speaks so many volumes, and organisations need to be doing more. And we're not talking about these mammoth, lavish policies and incentives and getting in coaches to do X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
We're talking about doing the basics.
Yes.
And but doing them consistently and doing them well.
Yes.
We're not talking about tick box exercises.
Yeah.
We're talking about embedding something into your business that you believe is going to work. Mm-hmm. And it's what your people need.
And also, it has to work for the leader, right?
Yeah.
And if it starts at the top, then it's a lot easier, isn't it, for everyone to benefit.
And what we find is piloting it with leadership teams is the best way to get people on board.
Yeah.
Try it. Expose yourself to new things.
Mm-hmm.
In our program, and you can find it on the website, The Framework, we bespokely build the program to the industry, but we get people in really uncomfortable positions because we really want you to expose yourself to new opportunities in how to support your well-being going forward.
Yeah.
So people might never have tried an ice bath. People might never have tried meditation. People might never had a nutritional review.
Mm-hmm.
But all of these things encompassed together have a massive impact on our own mental well-being and how we go out and perform and how we thrive in our own lives and how we become the best versions of ourselves. And probably you and I sat here can really think about those times where we've gone and tried something new just to try something for our toolkit.
Yeah, and to see if it works. And if you don't try,
you never know.
Yeah, you don't know.
But what if there was that one time you tried something and that was the saving grace for you?
Yeah, exactly. Or being prepared to try something new. I think that always says a lot about a person if they just can give it a go. Until you've given it a go, you can't really have too much of an opinion about it, I suppose.
Yeah.
I love that, Hannah. I wonder, I know you've literally just launched Seed Wellbeing.
Yeah.
But if we were to fast forward 2 years, a couple of years, what impact would you love Seed Wellbeing to have in our city's organisations?
The foundation of who I am as a kind of private clinician is embedded in Portsmouth. And that's why the foundation of Seed, it was really important for me to keep that here.
Mm-hmm.
I've been given ample opportunity to take it wider, and that will come. Mm-hmm. But the foundation for me is for this city to really improve well-being and workplace culture in businesses of any size so that our city can thrive together better.
Yeah.
And that is from a collaborative approach.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing can be done in this city if people do not collaborate with the right intention.
Yeah. And would you ever grow it in the future outside of Portsmouth? Is that kind of in a wider plan?
On the cards.
Wow.
And we've only been, what, a week?
That's incredible.
I'm really grateful for the fact that people see its value and have interacted. LinkedIn's been amazing over the last week. I mean, I can't keep up with the notifications.
Wow.
But it speaks volumes for what has been created. And I think when you collaboratively work with other experts, I feel reassured and really kind of elated that these other experts see the value in what I birthed, as they keep calling it.
Yeah. So talk to me about the other experts.
Okay.
Like, who are they and what are they bringing?
So we have Ian Hurst, who is suicide prevention and mental health specialist, who runs We Are Hummingbird.
Okay.
Predominantly worked in the music and tradie industries.
Mm-hmm.
So he's come on board around predominantly suicide prevention.
Okay.
We have Jen Davis, who's a nutritional specialist.
Wow.
And previously, historically, a PT. And she does a lot of work with women's hormone health. We have Emily Dunstan, who is a movement and mindfulness specialist. So she runs Reiki, meditation, breathwork, those types of workshops.
Okay.
We have Jodie Phelps, who is a financial planner and trainer. So the world of financial well-being was a real element we wanted to capture because not many organisations around well-being offer financial input and training. And I think for the younger generation, that's even more prominent right now.
Yeah.
Because the financial financial strain on everyone in how to manage your money, but the impact that then has on your mental health when it's not done appropriately.
Yeah.
It was really important that we found somebody who was embedded with us on that value. Mm-hmm. And then we have the wonderful Daniel James, who's actually based in Northampton.
Okay.
He is a leadership mindset specialist, and he does a lot of work with leaderships to change culture around mental health and well-being and how that's represented and then supported in the business space. So yeah, and then me.
Oh, what a dream
then
team. Oh, you left yourself last.
Oh,
but,
yeah, but
you know,
it's different when you're the founder. It's
yes.
Everything that I've built over the last 8 or 9 months that this has been coming to fruition has all been about wanting to expose other people whose profession or work has I've either been a part of and worked mm-hmm. with, or who have inspired me or helped me on my journey as a professional too.
Yeah.
So it's moved from a brand, I have to remember, that's not about me anymore. It's about all of
us. How does that feel? Does it feel nice?
It actually feels really
nice. Yeah.
Because everything on social media isn't just about me.
Yes.
It's about a collective piece of work.
And it's really hard, I think, when you do your own thing, because you are every department pretty much.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're the face of a brand, and,
yeah.
and it can feel...
I make the tea.
Yeah,
I do
exactly.
absolutely everything. And now I have people to make tea for me.
Oh, wonderful. I'm glad you've managed to delegate that. But there is something about that kind of connection with a team that you can all feed off each other, and you can pick each other up if you need to.
Yeah,
you can
really
motivate each
that.
Other.
I think going back to your question, actually, about kind of seed my vision in like the next few years, my actual dream, maybe 2 years is a bit too early, but at least in 5 years, I would love to have a home in Portsmouth where we can invite businesses to come and train on site
nice.
With us.
You've got to put that out there into the world,
really,
Hannah. That's
really
all.
I really want a space that Seed Wellbeing can have. And
a
we
home.
Can then that open up to schools and colleges mm-hmm. and get young people in and really encompass everyone on the 6 steps, because well-being isn't just mental health.
Yeah.
It's everything that comes within that for people, of what they're experiencing in their life, the pressures within the workspace, and how they support themselves better.
Oh, I'm excited.
So just putting that out there for anyone who might have a home that they might
yes.
like to offer us.
Well, you never know. A home might happen more quickly than you planned. Okay, so I've loved hearing about your work, Hannah. It's very inspiring. And I'm sure there's
Thank
lots
you.
Of people that will listen to this that have organisations, businesses that want to kind of reach out and get in touch. We gave the website. Is there any other ways that they can contact you? Maybe not a LinkedIn message at
no,
the moment.
No, maybe not a LinkedIn message. So our Instagram is @seedwellbeinguk.
Great.
And our email address is info@seed-wellbeing.com.
Amazing. And a couple of questions to wrap up, really. I'm really interested in, you know, well-being is also a passion of mine.
Yeah.
And I wondered if you had one small habit that supports your well-being that you could share with us.
So something that I learned from Kat Thorne from Positive Habits or The Morning Game Changer
yes.
was that there is this stereotype that for exercise or getting out and being moving,
mm-hmm.
it has to be kind of your 30 minutes in the gym or the 45 minute run.
Yep.
But she really has changed my mindset over the last couple of years that 10 minutes is enough.
Mm.
So 10 minutes to just walk around the block, or 10 minutes to sit with a book, or 10 minutes to just be with yourself and be present in something, or watch an episode of your favorite box set.
Mm.
No phone, no distraction. And so for me, that was reading. And I've spent the last 12 months, 13 months reading a book a month.
Wow.
And although it's turned into more than 10 minutes, that positive habit and that positive step in setting a boundary that I wasn't willing to break for mm-hmm. my own well-being has really, really boosted me to be able to just do a bit more and be a bit more present. And just offer myself a bit of kindness.
And I guess sometimes we can get caught up in that all or nothing mentality. Mm. And it's almost like, well, if I haven't got time to read 3 chapters, then I'm not going to bother.
Everyone's got 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Which then turns into half an hour,
yeah.
which then turns into you not being able to put the book down.
Yeah, of
because
course.
Because you actually reap the benefit of that safe, protected time.
Yeah, you're so right. Just keeping it small, and kind of like, if you've got a bigger habit that you want to like embed, how can you shrink it down and just make it a little bit more accessible for yourself, and then
yeah.
and then grow it from there. We're talking a lot about seeds and growing
oh,
today,
go.
Hannah, aren't
There's
we?
A reason.
I love that. We always ask each guest if there is like a special place in Portsmouth that, you know, you enjoy visiting, that brings you joy. I wonder if, because we have this kind of well-being twist, is there a place in Portsmouth that resets you or restores you? Could be a view, it could be a cafe, it can be anywhere in Portsmouth that kind of brings you that.
I think for me, I love the beach, but that's a really common one and there's a lot of it. But
do you have a favourite place on the beach?
Probably Hot Walls,
nice.
Right through the arch. I think
lovely.
It's very kind of quaint and quiet,
yes.
And it doesn't get too overloaded there.
Yeah.
But I think I'm a very visual person, mm-hmm. So when I want to reset and switch off, it has to be very visual for me. And so mine would be Portsdown Hill on a clear day.
Oh, nice.
And I think just being able to look out and see Portsmouth as a whole, but also see wider than that and see the ocean in a bigger context, I think for me is really, really prominent in how I reset my mind, just being distracted by so much to look at. And yeah, I mean, it is a beautiful view from up there.
Yeah, and I think just being up high and looking down on things, it really shifts your perspective. And I find this, if I ever go like on a city break, or I went to London on the weekend, and the scale is so big, it kind of like it makes your problems feel a bit smaller.
Yeah.
It kind of makes your joy feel a little bit bigger.
I think also up there you've got space.
Yeah.
So when you're sat there, you're not kind of sat in a park with lots of trees or lots of people. There tends to be people up there, but there's space around you. It feels a bit more open. And I feel like there's more space to kind of let your mind go and drift.
Yes.
And I always walk away having kind of felt a bit lighter because my brain doesn't feel so chaotic.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I love
definitely
that.
Portsdown Hill.
And are you having a mixed monster burger? That's the question.
Oh, I've never had one.
No, me neither.
I've never had one.
But I love that you're up there taking in the view and helping sort of calm your mind. So thank you. That's a really great tip for everyone. I've absolutely loved talking to you today, loved learning more. You've given all the ways to get in touch, and I hope businesses reach out and really think about how they can work with you to kind of start to shift the culture in the city, because ultimately, like your mission, we want to make the city the best place to live, to learn, to work, to invest, and everyone feeling well is a huge part of that. So thank you for all the work that you've been doing, and to your team, and we look forward to seeing where it goes.
Thank you, really appreciate that. I've loved it.
Thank you, Hannah.
This podcast was brought to you by Shaping Portsmouth, working to make Portsmouth the number one UK city in which to invest, live, learn, work and visit. To find out more, please visit shapingportsmouth.co.uk. This podcast was supported by Spark Community Space
and Portsmouth Community Lottery.